to the Global Gaming Business Podcast, the industry's first and longest-running podcast, now in our 15th year. I'm Roger Gross, the publisher of GGB, and this week we're joined by George Papanier, the president and CEO, and Phil Giuliano, senior vice president and chief marketing officer for Twin River Management Group, one of the companies that benefited from the merger of Eldorado and Caesars Entertainment by picking up competing resorts for bargain prices. The GGB podcast is brought to you by FSB, the industry's leading sports betting solutions and technology platform. For more information, visit fsbtech.com. Twin River Management Group got its start in a little casino in Rhode Island and today is growing into one of the largest regional operators in gaming. The recent purchase of Caesars Entertainment by Eldorado Resorts was something of a catalyst for the growth of the company. Twin River was able to buy several properties in different areas of the country at bargain prices to lessen their market share of a Caesars Eldorado entity. CEO George Papanier and Senior Vice President Phil Giuliano explain how the company plans to capitalize on these new properties, including Bally's Atlantic City, which they bought on the cheap for just $25 million. They spoke with GGB editor Frank Legato over the phone in July.
Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast. We have today two top executives of Twin River Holdings, which is one of the operators that is still expanding. We have George Papanier, who is the CEO, and Phil Giuliano, the Executive Vice President. Welcome, guys. Thanks for being with us today.
Well, thanks for having us.
Well, the first question is... Yes, thank you. In an atmosphere in which most operators are simply trying to survive, you've moved ahead in expanding your footprint. How has the pandemic affected your expansion plans?
So why don't I start answering the question? Bill can certainly weigh in wherever he thinks it's appropriate. So we've continuously taken proactive steps to ensure that we were well prepared. Prepare for an event like this, financially speaking. We've always preferred to operate with low leverage and high levels of liquidity so that we can remain nimble for when situations arose. So we have no debt maturities prior to 2024. We've always believed there would be opportunities that would be presented as a well-capitalized company. So some presented themselves during the pandemic, and others we believe will present themselves subsequent to the pandemic. So we put ourselves in a great position to take advantage of these recent transactions as well as future opportunities.
Okay. Now you've got operations in several states with reopening requirements varying by state according to their outbreak levels of the pandemic. Have you formulated a standard set of safety parameters for your properties?
Well, Frank, in every jurisdiction we operate, and we've been working very closely with state and local officials, as well as public health experts, to deliver a safe environment for our employees and our customers. So each jurisdiction allows for certain levels of occupancy based on where they are in their phasing, but all of them require social distancing, face masks, sanitary requirements, and health screening. We do temperature checks. We have thermal imaging cameras in some locations, glass partitions, or where all customer-facing functions are. Face masks for all employees and customers are required. And in Rhode Island, for example, we take IDs in the event there's a need for any contact tracing.
Oh, okay. So now back to your operations here. Now that you've closed on the Kansas City and Vicksburg acquisitions, what are your next steps there at those properties?
Take the next couple months to integrate systems and continue to evaluate the markets beyond the considerable amount of work that we've already done, primarily during the licensing period, so that we can put ourselves in a position where we can immediately start to aggressively compete for market share to certain marketing strategies. And I'll let Phil take that in a second. And we're going to launch in a considerable project CapEx program in KC in particular. where that property is locally under amenitized. So we'll be adding land-based facility there, which will focus on recapturing customer segments that we feel that they lost over the last several years. That facility is going to house all the non-casino gaming operations, including restaurants, a future sports book, a retail, but more importantly, it's going to link the existing parking structure to the casino, which we feel will provide for a much better sense of arrival and a way better customer experience. So we're excited about the potential there. And in Vicksburg, we're just going to focus on reintroducing table games. We're going to add a sports book there. There's currently not one. And then we'll focus on slot product, and Phil could touch on all the marketing efforts in those jurisdictions.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's a time for rebranding, right? There's name changes. Casino KC in Kansas City has got a nice ring to it. People are embracing it and liking it. We're quietly rolling it out until we can get to the point where we can separate from Eldorado's systems, install our own systems, and then do a little bit of a launch party, which won't be exactly the most spectacular party, because with the completion of the capital plan will be a more spectacular event. But we'll be establishing ourselves in the market. And you know, in Vicksburg, there'll be similar things as the name changes. We've got to be cautious about what the name is going to be as something as kind of surfaced today, and we'll see how that ends up. But regardless, that'll get branding as well. And for brand, what that means to us is promise made, promise delivered. Okay, so we pride ourselves as a company on being able to operate very efficiently. When it comes to the operating side, we believe we know what the customer wants. We believe we know what the influential attributes are that gamers embrace. We also are very focused on value, because we believe that, you know, if you're not operating in a monopoly, that you have to create value among your competitors that lets you stand out among your competitors. And that's part of our brand. You know, we believe that customer that comes our way and plays our way is going to be rewarded appropriately. And also, from the company's viewpoint, it'll be a profitable endeavor for the company as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, let's talk about some other new markets, starting with, Phil, your hometown, Atlantic City. Now, New Jersey has put severe restrictions in, so it's kind of a particular challenge operating there right now. When do you anticipate Twin River taking operations over there at Bally's?
We think it's going to be approximately... Go ahead, George.
No, I was just... Well, Frank, really the gating item there is the licensing process. Mm-hmm. Our company's already submitted the applications to the Gaming Commission, so if you look at the typical period of processing, that should put us in the mid to late fourth quarter of this year. So I don't know if we want to add anything to that.
Okay.
Just the Atlantic City local thing is makes me chuckle, because you know, I did quite a few years in Atlantic City in a couple different turns, if you will, and then coming back to Atlantic City and two blocks from where I grew up, kind of wild. And I'm excited about it. You know, we just see a facility there that, when we name it properly, will be in the center of it all.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the tagline will bring along with whatever the name ends up being. And but we're excited about it. You know, it also gets us in the iGaming space and mobile sports betting, we think it's a great opportunity. Great opportunity. We're excited about it.
Now what immediate changes do you anticipate? Are you going to keep the brand of Bally's, or are you going to switch it to a new name? How's that going to work?
So I'll take the first part of that. Sure. So we are going to be changing the brand. Within our purchase agreement with Caesars, we have 6 months from the date we take over the property to change the name. So stay tuned for that. As Phil said, we love the center of the Boardwalk location. We will immediately commence a rooms refurbishment program that will phase over the next couple of years. We think there's opportunity to add some unique restaurant brands there as well. along with utilizing the physical attributes of the existing property that, in our opinion, has been ignored recently, like the 80,000 square feet of convention and meeting space that is complemented by the over 1,200 rooms that the property has. So I don't know if you want to add anything to that.
Loyalty program? Do you have a corporate loyalty program that's going to replace the Caesars Rewards that's in there now?
Yeah, absolutely. We think that there's linkage possibilities with, initially with not the whole company, but initially within jurisdictions. And the key thing is we have the customer database. And if I know anything about these customers and rewards, you know, you have to be competitive. Maybe we'll even be competitive plus. But at the end of the day, we'll get the right offers in the right people's hands at the right time. And then we'll build on that and we'll cross-market wherever the opportunity presents itself. I mean, I think I kind of knocked the socks off of a customer right now who would visit our casino in Atlantic City or in Dover or up in New England, as so many of them already have, and then get down to Hard Rock in Biloxi. Mm-hmm. Just a stunning property, incredible property, voted two times by Hard Rock Management as the best-run Hard Rock in the brand. You know, so we really kind of knock it out of the park there. We're going to be in Lake Tahoe. We're going to be... you know, as I said, the Dover Atlantic City connection ought to be pretty decent, and then of course we're very close to Newport up in Tiverton, where we have a small hotel, and of course you got Providence at 60 miles from Boston with another hotel. So
that's a lot of database.
Correct.
FSB is more than just a platform. With more than 100,000 live sporting events traded by FSB teams each year, FSB has the experience to help you launch the most exciting U.S. sports betting operation. Built by experts with years of experience and powering some of the world's most successful brands, the FSB platform has been created to put you in charge of your business. FSB helps by creating online and retail solutions that are supported by an incredibly strong mobile offering with marketing, trading, payments, and all the other tools required to support a world-leading sports book. The FSB team is good, but their technology is great. And now back to our podcast.
Okay, now physically, Wild Wild West is staying with Caesars. Is the Dennis part of what's going to be your property?
Dennis is part of our asset purchase, and that will also be part of the rooms refurbishment program.
I should hope. with the Dennis, that's going to be another big project. Will you keep the indoor connections that are currently there between Bally's, Caesars, and the Claridge Hotel? And there's a
well, the Claridge Bridge connector makes sense for both of us and the neighboring hotel. You know, we view them as a dormitory for our casino and our amenities. So I think it makes absolute sense to continue to combine that hotel inventory, which will allow us to go aggressively after convention and meeting business, as I mentioned earlier.
Right.
The same logic, I think, can apply to Caesars. If we can jointly go after significant convention and meeting business in the future, it makes absolute sense.
Mm-hmm. And there's a nice little retail space in between those two as well, going to the Claridge.
Yep.
And Phil, you mentioned a little bit about you know, being a couple of blocks from where you grew up. Give me an idea of how different a situation it is now than the last time you were headquartered in Atlantic City.
Well, last time I did anything in Atlantic City, we caught the end of the Great Recession. You know, there were some painful times, right?
Right.
And the expansion in Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. So I saw some pretty hard times, and actually on the back of its greatest time ever, a $5.2 billion market, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that was really a juxtaposition to write about. This time, I think you're catching, virus aside, you're catching Atlantic City on the upswing. And And I think the energy coming out of Atlantic City was just great. You know, I still spend a lot of time here in this region, and first thing I do every day is, you know, get my Atlantic City press out and read it, and they'll be happy to know I'm one of the few people who still gets the actual paper, right? For whatever the reason, it's just a habit that I can't break. So I think Atlantic City was absolutely moving in the right direction. You know, there was a lot of energy, and I think that even with the two new competitors, which strained the performances of the other casinos that had their way for a while there before the two Ocean and Hard Rock opened, I still thought that they were positive for the market, and I think everybody was going to find a very lucrative way home in time.
And that's another reason it's a good idea to market the center of the boardwalk there. You know, you have particular entertainment centers now along the boardwalk, and having Hard Rock and the Ocean up there, you can have your own distinctive center of the boardwalk attractions.
Yeah, you can, and we hope to do something clever there. You remember that Bally had a great spa at one time, okay?
Yes.
And it still has all the accoutrements necessary to be resurrected into a great spa. We'll pay attention to that, and that'll give us, you know, amenities for a premium customer. And I'm excited about working with that. And so I built a spa back in the day, and I was around that spa a lot. So it was exciting to walk out on the rooftop there and look over the city and look at the facility as it's still laid out today.
Right.
Good bones.
That spa was Bally's Park Place. That was their one of their central attractions, as I recall.
Right.
Back in the day. Now, speaking of challenging markets, Lake Tahoe, what plans do you have for the property there, and how will Twin River meet the challenges of that market?
Well, this is a beautiful property. Recently went through a major $25 million renovation. We feel we can establish this property as a destination property for our customer base that Bill just talked about, that we could cross-market to. We see opportunity in capturing not only lost market share, but local market share as a result of a recent COVID-19, I'll call it induced permanent closure of one of the local casinos. So that will benefit to us. And also, you know, we'll be a direct beneficiary of a recently approved convention center project, which will be built on the perimeter of our Mont-Blue site.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to add anything to that?
Okay.
Yeah, there's some market segments that we're interested in, too. We're interested in the Asian clientele from the West Coast. We think we can appeal to them. Right now, I think that they've kind of walked away from that business, and we think there's some ability to attract that. And as George said, it's kind of I've got a great location with the convention center that will be built, and it's a fine hotel. So we're going to move our customers around, Lake Tahoe, seasonally is a breathtaking place, and we think we'll be able to keep some of our premium customers loyal as a result of that facility being available to them.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, same question with I'm sorry, go ahead.
We've done it in Biloxi. We go down in small groups, and they go down there, and they just come back just, you know, stars in our eyes saying, geez, we had no idea the Gulf Coast was like that. You know, we're, especially Northeasterners, you know, Mid-Atlantic, people from Mid-Atlantic states, they have an impression that's perhaps faulty. And when they get down there, they said, oh, my God, you know, this is special.
Mm-hmm.
And we're able then, different times of year to move groups down there. We even think Tahoe will have that one trip a year, that special trip that some of our best customers will take.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, what about Shreveport, El Dorado Shreveport? Any grand plans there yet as far as branding, marketing, et cetera?
Well, this is a top-tier property. It's been well-maintained property. It's just in a $700 million Shreveport, Bossier City market. has a lot of characteristics of our Hard Rock Biloxi property, where we've had considerable success. Our focus here will be aggressive marketing, and that would be complemented by some targeted CapEx, which we would focus to recapture the recently lost market share. And Phil could touch on the success that we've had at Hard Rock Biloxi and kind of how this property feels like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is a first quality mousetrap, I like to describe it as. You know, this is in really good shape. I was with Horseshoe back in the early aughts, and we used to go down to the Horseshoe property down there, and I always visited. It one time was Hollywood, and then of course became El Dorado, and I marveled at the place. It was a stunning place, very, and we visited it about a year ago or more than a year ago. And I think the thing it needs is perhaps some aggressive attention to its customer base, incentives that are very attractive and that basically tell the customer, you got to play here. You know, this has got to be in the queue for you because this is a good deal.
Mm-hmm.
Value again. Yeah, it's a beautiful place, but we realize that you're seeking value as well, and we're going to make sure we inject it with that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Finally, Twin River Holdings, are your expansion efforts complete? Are you still looking at other markets, Las Vegas Strip, for example, or are things kind of on hold because of the pandemic?
Well, Frank, since becoming a public company in March of 2019, our M&A strategy has been to diversify our portfolio and expand our geographic footprint. You know, our disciplined approach focuses on acquiring assets that meet these criteria and will be accretive to earnings. So, if you look at our five recent acquisitions, that highlights the types of properties we're looking for. They allow us to meaningfully enhance our financial profile, while allows us to increase our presence in a number of the geographic markets that we weren't currently in. Additionally, we like the idea of entering into new states that either already offer or have the prospects to offer sports betting and iGaming.
Mm-hmm.
So, we're going to continue the strategy, and we're going to take an opportunistic approach. And in the meantime, we'll digest the three new assets that will be coming online in the next year.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Are you interested at all in the Las Vegas Strip, or are you going to focus on regional as far as you know?
Well, with MontBleu, it enters us into the Nevada market.
Right.
So, just again, we're going to be opportunistic. If the opportunity arises and makes sense for us, we'd be interested in all markets.
Mm-hmm.
We're just going to continue to kick tires and see what makes sense for the growth of our company, while at the same time being accretive to our shareholders.
Okay. Well, listen, I wish you luck on all these new projects. You've certainly got a full plate, and thank you very much for taking the time today to talk with us.
No problem. I appreciate it.
Hope you enjoyed this week's podcast brought to you by FSB, the industry's leading sports betting solutions and technology platform. For more information, visit fsbtech.com. To learn more about expanded gaming and the important role to be played by Twin River Management Group, visit ggbmagazine.com. To get all the news of the gaming industry, particularly of the coronavirus situation and its impact on gaming, including daily updates, subscribe for free at ggbnews.com by using the code GGB180. Don't miss a single episode of the GGB podcast. Subscribe on iTunes or Spotify today. So we'll see you next week on the podcast.